Good morning. Fred, you were wrong. I think 50 pots of chili tonight. And there are 2,000 or 3,000 people here this morning. Well, very excited that Doran and Sherry could be with us, that we will celebrate tonight. Let's raise some money for the digging of these wells. We have a singing at 6 o'clock. If you like to sing, we join together quarterly with the Southside congregation, and we do some singing, so come at 6. The chili supper will be after that at 7 o'clock. Very exciting time to be together. I wanted to make a couple of announcements. Number one, if you like cookies, we want you to have cookies. You notice some boxes in the Family Life Center. Those were donated to us. We're trying to get rid of those. So David says, come get a box of cookies. So go in the Family Life Center, take a box of cookies home. Let's start with one box per family. We'll get rid of some of those cookies. Second thing I wanted to mention is that you might be aware that in October, we lost our secretary unexpectedly. And we have replaced her long term, but our replacement does not begin until July the 1st. But our replacement is Audrey Van Scoter. So we're very excited about Audrey coming on. I told Audrey she'd have to come up and give a speech, But Audrey is going to have to put up with me and Bill and Scott and Scotty, but she puts up with Travis, so I think she's going to handle that just fine. But yeah, and she does have Lisa on her side. I also wanted to just mention that we've had several ladies fill in the interim, but our long-term interim for a couple of months now has been Robin Cox, and Robin has taken to that job, has done a great job with that. We appreciate so much Robin filling in and the work that she has done. And then finally, I would mention that we have our sermon series coming up on A Journey with Colette. If you're not familiar with that term, Colette, get the booklet. You can read the introduction, find out all about that. We're going to go through Ecclesiastes together. And Fred mentioned home groups. This is an integrated study. You do daily devotionals. I preach on that text Sunday morning, and then home groups discuss it afterwards. So you will be immersed in Ecclesiastes. So I encourage you to pick up one of those booklets. And if you can get plugged into a home group, I think you'll be much blessed by your time in the study of the book of Ecclesiastes. It is our custom to make sure we always offer an invitation if somebody wants to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If you want to do that this morning at the end of the sermon, of course, you can do that. If you want to make something known to the whole congregation, you can do that as well. But we also want you to be aware that a couple of our elders and their wives will be in the conference room, which is out the back doors and to the left, and you can go there and meet with them and pray with them with that, whatever concern you have. And I know a number of you have taken that opportunity. I just want to encourage you with that. It's also our custom to begin the lesson in prayer. So, Doran, I will pray for you as we begin this morning. Father, we are excited to be a part of the good things that are happening in Africa. I appreciate Dorian and Sherry and all the work that they're doing. And as he speaks to us this morning about that work and speaks to us about your word, just ask the blessing upon the preaching and the hearing of your word. It's your son we pray. Amen.
It is a joy to be here, and it's always a privilege for me to be here to speak. I thank Curtis for allowing me this opportunity that's usually his, and I look forward to him this summer. We're going to be together, and he's probably going to have 100 ministers plus others that he's going to share his wisdom and knowledge with. And I also want to thank the elders for the privilege. It's great to be here. This is such a wonderful, loving family, and Sherry and I are always blessed, and we always say that when we leave, because the time is precious, so the time is short, but yet it is so, so rich. 9 years this month is when we began this ministry, and I really want to play some catch up with you. Every time I come and given the opportunity, I want you to know we're constantly moving forward. We have the ACT project, and you talk about lives coming full circle. Lee, at the end of last year, approached us, him and his wife, and said, we want to work full time. So our son Lee and Bridget began January. They're sponsored by the Cross Point Church of Christ, and they're going to be the head of the ACT project. And we can't be more excited about that. And, of course, we ship out of Alabama, and we also ship out of Texas. And then, we ship one in November. And everything just caught right, you know, and people are enjoying that there. This is our first one to Zambia container. I can hardly believe it. I thought, you know, a 20-foot container once a year would be great. 25 we've shipped already, and we shipped three last year, and we probably will ship three 40 foots this year. So thank you, ladies, for all the clothes and men and children. But the ladies' clothes are the most that we collect, so keep shopping. Young men and women are unloading this container that arrived in Zambia just about a week or so ago, and they're sorting the shoes out. Those women are so excited about that. Can you top that? I mean, three boxes. 43 wells. When we were here last year, we had done 39. And we got enough money for four. And we're drilling, by the way, we're drilling our 44th right now. So that was our 41st well that you helped from the last one. Here's another one, and that's just such a fantastic picture of those kids. And there's our 42nd well. Thank you, North Street. Thank you. We've expanded the well project in the sense that we're starting to build community gardens. And we are given... because of our well, are given 5, 6, 7 acres in multiple places where we can start all kinds. Well, we invite the community to come in and sow seed. And as one minister said to me, he said, "Doreen, while they planting seedlings, I am sowing seed." And many have come to know Jesus Christ there at the bed. And it's fantastic. This is a group we had from Columbus. And we're thankful for those that have come from North Street. We want more to come from North Street, you know. But this is a group planting seedlings at our community garden, a new one for us, and there's it growing. And there are some passerbys on the right that had, with their axes and their machetes, they had been cutting in the bush, and we gave them some of ours. How do you like our onions? Isn't that awesome? There's no fertilizer, by the way. It's land that's dormant, that has all the nutrients, and suddenly you bring water. Wow. I mean, it's just great. This is our fourth community garden that we are starting right now. And like I said, with all our good works, it's the end game. And the end game is to share living water. And we share Jesus. And these are tools by which we can help people, but we can also share Jesus. Right now in Zimbabwe, 2.4 million are starving. Because they get rain during a block of time from November to April, and if they don't get their rain, they are in trouble. They don't get constant precipitation like we do. And right now, the rain has been almost negligible. I want you to know that all our wells are running. I mean, we've literally saved tens of thousands of lives. But we are feeding people right now. There's 5 villages right now that desperately need wells. We're feeding them. Where are they going to get food? I mean, get water. That's where they're going right now. They are going to a dry riverbed where they walk 3 miles, this particular village, one way, and they dig and dig and dig until they can get water. And some of them that might have a little money can pay the guy with the cart, and he can carry their full containers back for them. I mean, that's enough to grab your heart anyway. But let me tell you about those women. Those women, I hate to use the word waste, but I feel that way, waste thousands of hours of their lives just getting water, which takes away from them being with their families or having any sort of community life. I mean, that's all they do. They can't say, well, for the next year or two, I'm going to get water, and then after that we'll get... No. Not until people come somewhere can come and drill a well for them. And from that, they'll take the ball and run with it. That lady... her life expectancy without clean water is about 37 years. Can you imagine spending all your life, every day or every other day, just getting water, you know? And then that's it, just about. 509 immersed this past year into Christ. And I'm so excited. You know, you set goals. And we had always had 400, 480, 470, but just to have 509 immersed into Christ shows our work is expanding. And by the way, the reason I show that immersion is because we used to baptize people in that area. It's called the Shabalala. And we had to go to the dry riverbed, not that one, another one, and dig and dig and dig until we could immerse them, and you couldn't see them, but you drilled a well there. Ha! How beautiful is that picture, eh? I'm not going to go into details about Mr. Moyo. I just want you to know he's a chief over 500 families, Zambia, Zimbabwe border. And the minister there got to know him, shared with him the good news of Jesus Christ. He has become a child of God, and he has given us, he's given us 10 acres for us to build a facility that will be used every single day, and then a community garden. And we are thankful, feel thankful to him and him, life being changed. We have the Mom Project, Making Orphan Meals. We have three women that head that up, two in Africa and one in the States. Janet's in the middle. And Janet, you know, she came from Harding. She was a student. And she said, I want to come, you know, with Partners for Africa, you know, come on a trip. And so she did. And she just stayed with us. She's got married. And I did their wedding, but she's still staying with us. And her husband's on board. And so we are thankful. And she raises funds here for the 700 to 1,000 children that we feed on in any given week. And we are thankful for so many of you that have helped individually in other ways to provide food for these children. There's the meal still, and I know I show that picture. It's a different picture, but it looks familiar because it's still the same basic plate of food. And when I say 50 cents, I mean they don't pay 50 cents, okay? But we have kept the price down to 50 cents with the white sweet potato and the pumpkin and the meat and the rice. Then Kulamani Valentine's Day a few days ago. They were so happy, Valentine's Day. We are such a wealthy nation, aren't we? But let me tell you, one reason why I love America so much, because America has always been generous. And I know that that's one reason our nation has been blessed. And so thank you. Pillowcase dresses. Women out of Henderson, Texas, made 200 pillowcase dresses. Are they happy or what? millions of children do this every day in Africa. They walk to school. They about to walk a mile and a half. Part of it's down the highway, and the big one is going to take care of the little ones. It's unheard of here. So 2013, you know the story. I'm not going to repeat much of it, but we're giving this piece of land to build a clinic, 3 acres. There's our clinic. It opened last year. Now we're going through a few licensing, and it'll be fully functional next month. Sherry and I leave for Africa next month, and it'll be fully functional then. But I mean, unbelievable that we have a clinic there, the Churches of Christ. And that was at the gathering. Government leaders, local leaders, I mean, everybody. It was wonderful. 1,000 people came to the opening. Do you know that the ladies fed everybody? 2 big pots, 1 cornmeal, the other one beef and gravy. It wasn't the feeding of the 5,000, but I certainly thought about it. So I went to Nashville because Healing Hands ships our containers, and I said to Joseph Smith, I said, between the Churches of Christ, what kind of connections do you have with them and those people, doctors, nurses, and other medical professionals? I mean, what do you think we can? Could we fill a 40-foot container to furnish the clinic? And I tell you what, we've got everything. I mean, you know, IV pumps, we've got heart monitors, we've got, wheelchairs, stethoscopes. But we were also given by a hospital in Nashville beautiful sheets, 2,000 of them. And so this team that came from Kentucky and Tennessee, there started stenciling. But I just want you to see the iron. This is a principal from Hopkinsville, Kentucky, and he's ironing. His wife loved this picture. But you notice the iron, there's no cord. Because what you do with this iron is you unscrew the top because you've already made your fire and you already got your coals, and you put your coals in the top and you screw it down and let's go. And then that's what you have. You know, there's your sheet. Nothing that we're building in Africa. Well, let me put it this way. When we build a clinic when I get to the next item we're going to talk about, we want to build it so it's self-sustaining in Africa. I grew up in Africa. I saw wonderful missionaries come to Africa. Great people. Some did not have the vision when they left to build something self-sustaining. Maybe the conclusion is Africa so poor. So we are raising money to build that clinic. Well, the money's been raised. So how do you self-sustain it? Well, you go into the bush in Matabeleland, and you go find posts. Well, their posts aren't there. They're trees. And with your axe and your machete, you know, they haven't heard of Black & Decker. So there you go there, and then you get your posts. And then when you get your posts, you get your barbed wire, and you make your crawl, because that's where you're going to keep your cattle. And if you purchase bulls and you get your herd up to 100 head, this is beef country, by the way, you with the new calves every year can sustain that clinic, and you do it their way. And that's what we're doing. We've already bought the bulls. We've already got about 20 heifers, and we are on our way. Well, Dorian, a whole clinic? Yes, because the government provides the nurses for the rural clinic, and we've already built their housing. There is no central air and central heat. You've got your block building. You've got a roof that lasts a generation. And medicines? Well, World Vision is already going to provide us our medicines. And so whatever other things happen during the I'm telling you, the calves are going to cover it. That's our oldest grandson, Tristan. He's come the last 2 years. It's just wonderful to have you. I know some of you have that experience, have your grandson to serve the Lord's Supper to you, but to have it in Africa is wonderful. By the way, I do want to tell you, I don't know if I said this before, but they let their mother know, and their mother had to call me, and they said, talking about Tristan and his brother Dakota, and they said, we want Grandma and Granddaddy to know that if they die, we'll keep on Partners for Africa. We'll keep it going. And I said, that's great, don't rush me. Rural distribution of Bibles to anybody that wants to obey. Anybody that gives their life to Jesus Christ gets a Bible. We've got people in Florida that help us with that. Apologetics Press approached me. They said, Dorian, have you looked at our material for high schools? I want you to know the quality of the material is as good as the quality of public schools. I'm talking about the quality, you know, the tech. I mean, it's just great quality. The pictures, the paper, they said, could you use it? I started reading through those and about the animals and children in Africa. And they said, we will raise the money to purchase the books to put on the container. How many do you need? And I said to them, about 10,000. And they said, okay. We already got 6,000 on the water, and they're going into the public schools there as well. And we are thankful for that. Urban Outreach, the lady on the right has a preschool. The guy on the left has a high school. And so we're thankful for that. It's all based at a church at Nketa 9, and we're trying to do that with as many churches as possible. So now we have this high school in the church building, and it is wonderful. The church building also reaches out. The government said we've been given by UN for inoculations, and so there, let's use our building, and people lined up to inoculate. Any which way we can reach people on all kinds of levels, it's all about. We don't raise money for church buildings, but I do want you to know. In fact, when I say church buildings, I really should say community center, because we use the buildings every day. But once we drill a well, we'll say you're on your own. And so they make their own bricks. And there's the building. And the building's about done, by the way, because there's no central air and central heat. Just get a door on it and get the benches made. And we're ready to go. One of the churches don't have enough classrooms, but they were given a bus by the church in the Bahamas. And so, guess that's the Sunday school classroom, a mobile room. This young man was, his grandfather had taken World Bible School, come back 23 miles into the bush, and he's sharing his good news with his grandson, and the grandson says, I want to do what that African did. He looked at the eunuch. And so he came 23 miles. He's 16. You can see he's malnourished. He's paralyzed, but yet he came, and that Sunday morning was a blessed event to see him immersed in a well that you all purchased about 5 or 6 years ago. And the team from Alabama and Texas was so happy to see that. Just want to give you a picture of the youth to tell you that they just recorded their first a cappella album. It's in three languages. It's in English, Zulu, and Shona. And we're just making copies. We just started to make copies, so I'll bring some and leave it with you all. We help with encampments too, and this is in northern South Africa. And of course, all the young people had a great time, and of course, everybody likes to eat as well. We have Shine spiritually helping in nurturing and equipping, and we conduct 25 leadership seminars every year. That's besides our marriage seminars and our youth seminars. And when Curtis comes, Curtis is going to be teaching those men right there. About 112 preachers were there that day. And he's going to, all day, I've asked him, I said, Curtis, when I was here last time, you had a great series. I'm sure you got a lot of great series, but you had a series on the overview of the Bible. Some of those young preachers, I want them to know that. And he's going to teach them all day. He's going to do more teaching than that. 8 years ago, we got 100 kids together. Wasn't that awesome? Look where we are now. We had 1,000 on the children's big day. And after they had quoted scripture and had Bible quizzes and told stories, Bible stories, then they played outside and the teachers set the pace because the children really laughed, you know, at that. But I just wanted to mention something. The lady in the middle is Miriam Vimber. She is a go-go. What I mean by that is a title given to grandmothers in Zimbabwe. When you become a go-go, your daughters and your daughter-in-laws do for you. So Miriam said, we've got to have a big day for the children. And everybody started hustling. So, 54 new congregations since we started. This is our 9th year. You're a part of that, by the way, okay? Because you've helped us on several levels. 54 new churches. Our fellowship is exploding in Southern Africa. And I'm sure where the Fortsons are, it's the same. But I want you to know this part of Africa is so receptive. And I appreciate what the Fortsons are doing well. And other places. I know we're not the only outreach. This church is multi-levels, and I'm thankful for all that you do, or multi-outreach. Over 16,000 are now in our World Bible School students in Bulawayo, that office there that we have, and we are thankful. Most of them are high school students. Well, this is a result of one of our marriage seminars. They also like to dress up too, man. They look so beautiful. So, I end with this. Amazon Christian School. So, I stood by the clinic and asked, I said, I visited the elementary school here. This is about 50 miles outside the city of Bulawayo. I said, but I don't see a high school. They said, no, they have to walk 15 miles to the high school. I said, there's no way they could do that. No buses, of course. So I said, we need 20 acres for a high school. 20 acres? I thought I was being really, So they came back 3 days later, the chiefs in the area, and they said, we have a piece of land that adjoins the clinic. We don't want to break it up. It's 70 acres. Would you take that? I think so. I mean, I don't want to break anything up. The first phase for the high school is $107,000. And from September until now, it's all been raised. And you know how it finished? It finished with your contribution, that mission contribution that you helped several people with, but that you helped us with. That sealed it. That's the land. By the way, I just want you to know this will be a Zimbabwe entity. We're all about self-propagation. Those are two of the men on the board. Both graduates from schools here in the United States, have both Bible and secular degrees, and their wives are on the board as well. Every time I look at that picture, it pulls my heartstrings because when the 15 villagers heard that their grandchildren and children were going to get a high school education for the first time in their history, they were so elated that the grandmothers and the mothers came out and they cleared the fence line of the 70-acre property. They did it, and it was only with their hands and axes and machetes. I mean, we provided them food. That was it. But they said, no, they want to do it. It was solid bush, and look what they did. And so the first thing the government requires is you've got to put up a fence. Has to, because people walk all through the bush. They don't know that it's for something else. This Christian high school that we're going to teach all these children from now on. So we put up this. I just want you to see where we are right now. We already finished the fence, which was a major undertaking, about $28,000. Got to be done first thing. We bought a truck because the truck, you don't hire trucks there, cost you arm and a leg. You buy a truck. We got it from the United Arab Emirates, rebuilt. You go down to the river, you go get your sand, and then you can go get your concrete mix, and then you can mix it up, but you got your truck. There's the tank, because the tank is going to be used. There's our well that we just hit water, and now you have your tank, and then you get your submersible pump, and then you get your generator, and now you got water pumping up, and now you can start building your school. Dorian, when are you going to open? We're going to open May of 2018. Who's going to teach? Well, I've showed you that picture of Nkosi before because I told you he was a young man we brought from Zimbabwe. And he came to Fried Hardman, and in 2 years he became student body president. Well, he's already got his BA, he's already got his master's in Bible, he's working on, he's about to complete his master's in education. Then, of course, while he gets, when he gets back there, because he's going to be the principal of the first Zimbabwe Christian school in southern Zimbabwe, in Matabele land. He's going back, grown up and raised there. So we are so excited about it. So he comes to me, he says, well, I've fallen in love with a girl here. I said, now you just wait a minute. Had nothing to do with color, only culture. And I said, Katie, you go back to Zimbabwe and you go spend time. And I'm not talking about a two-week trip. I mean months. You get to know his family, you live with his family, you get to know the culture. And I tell you what, she's just about fluent in Zulu now. She came back and she said, well, nothing's changed. I said, okay, I'll do the wedding. So we did the wedding. She's working on her degree in business, got the BA, working on her master's, and she'll be the office manager there at the school. And here's another couple in Zimbabwe, both working on their master's degree in education, and they will be joining them. So we're already putting it together. And then this couple, final slide, this couple is the preachers in the area, planted churches in the area, and he said, my wife and I want to oversee both properties. That's something that we're going to do. So we are so thankful. You know, it's a team effort, this side and that side. The Third Reich, when it came to power, and I know that Jim and Bob can say much more about this than I can, but the Third Reich said 1,000-year reign. Well, when they came to power, they must have been feeling pretty cocky because they had made a promise to the German people, maybe a lot of promises, but they said that they would take care of the hyperinflation and that they would get the trains running on time, and they did both. The only problem with the Third Reich or with the Nazis was that they wanted everything to be perfect, like the perfect race. While this is happening there in 1935 at the Big Ten track event, you have the greatest 45 minutes in sports. A guy by the name of Jesse Owens breaks 3 world records and ties a 4th in 45 minutes. In 1936, Hitler's so happy and proud that they're going to host the Olympics in Berlin. They're going to show how they're going to show Aryan supremacy. And here comes Jesse Owens, and he gets a gold medal in the 100, in the 200, in the 400, in the 4x100, and the long jump. Don't you know that if Hitler could have found that he cheated in any way, he would have exposed it? 2 Timothy 2:5, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Integrity. When it comes to the Christian life, how do we get integrity and how do we maintain it? It's partly what Jim said in his prayer. We didn't create ourselves, so we can't tell ourselves what we were created for. But when you go to John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you go to verse 3, and it says, He created everything. And verse 14 says, the Word became flesh. Then it all makes sense. Everything comes into focus. And that's what gives us the integrity of life and living it to its highest and fullest. How do you maintain it? You maintain it by this conviction that our destiny is eternity. And our homeland is heaven. Can't elaborate on that? Won't you come as we stand and sing?